This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning, I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we speak with longtime Inland Empire journalist Cassie McDuff and review a few of the big news stories around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
Well, let's start out in Sacramento. A bill that would have aided survivors of the December 2nd mass shooting in San Bernardino was gutted in the state legislature. What was the bill about and what happened?
This is a bill that was authored by first-term Assemblywoman Eloise Reyes of Grand Terrace. Some of the survivors of the mass shooting in San Bernardino have had difficulty getting their medical and psychological assistance continued. She is a lawyer who's represented workers in workers' compensation matters. This bill would have helped the survivors who've had difficulty getting their medical and psychological counseling continued. They've gone to the county and had difficulties, and so she introduced a bill that would enable them to bypass what's called utilization review, which is where outside physicians are asked to decide whether or not the patient's own doctor's recommendations should be followed or not. Mm-hmm. That's a very cumbersome and long process. So the bill would have enabled them to go directly to get that treatment. The bill was heard in the Assembly Insurance Committee, and there, basically, it was gutted. It was amended to provide only advocacy services to the injured workers. It would no longer apply to first responders or other types of workplace violence. I can tell you that 13 other legislators had signed on to co-sponsor the legislation that Reyes had introduced, including Assemblyman Jose Medina of Riverside and Senator Connie Leyva of Chino, and yet the committee basically gutted it.
Could this have been a case of ulterior motives on the part of some committee members of either party that maybe we didn't know about? Is there any indication of why the survivors of this terrible terrorist attack can't get the help from either the county or now the state?
Well, you know, workers' comp has been problematic in California for years. The legislature has worked on it and tried to correct problems with the system. But as you can see, it's still a point of contention in exactly how to best get the help to injured workers that they need and prevent fraud and abuse and this kind of thing.
Okay. Next, the cleanup of Chromium 6 in Hinckley has reached a milestone. And of course, my first question to you was, they're still cleaning up Chromium 6 in Hinckley? Wasn't this the case of Aaron Brockovich, a movie that came out years ago?
Yes, in 2002. Yeah, the cleanup process is certainly long and drawn out. The pollution got there because Pacific Gas and Electric Company, back in the 1950s and 60s, was dumping this chemical that had been used as a rust inhibitor and to kill algae in the cooling towers at their natural gas pumping plant in Hinckley out in the desert. The levels of chromium were just sky high, 9,000 parts per billion in 2011. According to PG&E's official, that has now been reduced to about 1,200 parts per billion, but that's still well above the California limit for chromium 6 in drinking water of 10 parts per billion. So they have a long way to go. And Ken, what's interesting here was to learn how they are neutralizing that chemical in the water so it's not so dangerous. What they're doing is they're injecting ethanol into the groundwater basin. And when those two chemicals combine, there's a reaction that converts the chromium 6 into chromium 3, which is apparently a benign form of the metal.
Okay, so after maybe 15, 20 years of cleanup, they're sort of reducing the danger of the chemical. Can people in Hinckley feel that the water is safe?
Well, nobody in Hinckley is drinking the water out of these contaminated wells. And right now they're trying to figure out if, in fact, the chemical process of neutralizing the chromium 6 is going to reverse itself over time and the chromium 6 will reemerge. The U.S. Geological Survey is doing a study, $5.4 million study, to see whether this is going to be a problem down the line. And that study is not going to be completed until late 2019. So they still don't really know how much of a handle they've got on the problem.
I sure hope Julia Roberts can hang on long enough to do Aaron Brockovich, the sequel. Sounds like there might need to be one.
There might be one.
Okay. Finally, audits of California's two public university systems offered up some surprises. Now, in news coverage this week, I heard about a couple of them. What's up?
Right. Both the University of California system and the California State University system were audited by the State Auditor's Office. At the University of California, the Office of the President came under criticism for having about $175 million in a fund that the auditor called hidden. The president's office defended it and said, no, it's been there right along. It's a discretionary fund of $92 million and a restricted reserve of $83 million.
And this money came, presumably, I heard, from leftover funds from allocations.
Well, the president's office says some of that money really has been allocated. In fact, UC Riverside School of Medicine received $2 million from the discretionary fund. But the big problem here is that the university is sitting on a pot of that much money at the same time as the Regents approved a 2.5% tuition raise has caused some consternation. The Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and the Speaker of the Assembly, Anthony Rendon, have both called on the Regents to rescind the tuition increase.
Wow. And California State University, what did the audit reveal about CSU?
Well, the audit of the CSU found that one of the complaints that the Faculty Association had made back last year when they were on the brink of striking, they had complained that the university system was adding jobs for administrators rather than faculty, and that the managers were getting bigger raises than the teaching staff. And the audit showed that indeed is true. The audit studied a 9-year period beginning in 2007-2008, and they found a 15% increase in the number of management positions, where there was only about a 7% increase in faculty, so less than half. They also found that the salaries for management personnel increased about 8.4% versus about 2.8% for faculty. So as you can imagine, a faculty union official said the next time they're going to discuss salary negotiations, it's going to be a tough conversation.
Yeah. Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.